So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text Number 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadev, the author. Nast praesu abhadresu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavate Uttam Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of God, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Etat Rupam Bhagavata Hi Arupasya Chit Atmana Maya Gunai Virachitam Mahat Adibi Atmani Etad Rupam Bhagavato Hi Arupasya Chit Atmana Maya Gunai Virachitam Mahadadibir Atmani Etad Rupam Bhagavato Hi Arupasya Chit Atmana Maya Gunai Virachitam Mahadadibir Atmani Etad Rupam Bhagavato Hi Arupasya Chit Atmana Maya Gunai Virachitam Mahadadibir Atmani. Etad Rupam Bhagavatam Vaishnavis, Matajis. Tadrupam Bhagavat. Atmana Maya Gunai Virajita. Etadrupa Mato Gunai Virajita. Etat, all this, Rupam, forms, Bhagavata, of the Lord, He, certainly, Arupasya, of one who has no material form, Chit Atmana, of the transcendence, Maya, material energy, Gunai, by the qualities. Virachitam, manufactured. Mahat Adibi, with the ingredients of matter. Atmani, in the self. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. The conception of the Virat universal form of the Lord us appearing in the material world is imaginary. It is to enable the less intelligent and neophytes to adjust to the idea of the Lord's having form. But factually, the Lord has no material form. Please repeat after me. The conception of the Virat universal form of the Lord as appearing in the material world is imaginary. It is to enable the less intelligent and neophytes to adjust to the idea of the Lord's having form. But factually, the Lord has no material form. Purport. The conception of the Lord known as the Vishwa Rupa or the Virat Rupa is particularly not mentioned along with the various incarnations of the Lord, because all the incarnations of the Lord mentioned above are transcendental and there is not a tinge of materialism in their bodies. There is no difference between the body and self as there is in the conditioned soul. The Virat Rupa is conceived for those who are just neophyte worshippers. For them, the material Virat Rupa is presented and it will be explained in the second canto. In the Virat Rupa, the material manifestations of different planets have been conceived as his legs, hands, and so on. Actually, all such descriptions are for the neophytes. The neophytes cannot conceive of anything beyond matter. The material conception of the Lord is not counted in the list of his factual forms. As Paramatma or Super Soul, the Lord is within each and every material form and even within the atoms. But the outward material form is but an imagination, both for the Lord and for the living being. The present forms of the conditioned souls are also not factual. The conclusion is that the material conception of the body of the Lord is Virat, as Virat is imaginary. Both the Lord and the living beings are living spirits and have original spiritual bodies. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pastatada Satarine Om Gyanam Timirandasya Gyanam Janasalakya Chakshun Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Before I start reciting or speaking something on today's verse, I would like to seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas present, including Maharaj, to be able to speak something for the benefit of myself and all of us who are trying to practice devotional service under the footsteps of Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. So, Srila Prabhupada states in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 11, as we know, chapter 11 is entitled The Universal Form. And Srila Prabhupada comments in his purpose in that particular chapter, why is it that the Virat Roop is regarded as temporary or material? As we know, anything that is connected to Krishna is transcendental. So Srila Prabhupada states, it is a transcendental form. But because it is manifested for the cosmic manifestation, and since it is manifested for the cosmic manifestation, and therefore it is subject to the temporary time of this material nature. So because it is manifested for the cosmic manifestation, and the cosmic manifestation is not permanent, as we know, during the breathing of Mahavishnu, the universes are come forth and the universes are absorbed. So because of that nature, this Virat Roop in the purport Srila Prabhupada mentions is regarded as not a permanent manifestation. But it's not that it is not. It's not transcendental. That's what Srila Prabhupada says. Let's be very clear on that. That it is transcendental, but it is temporary because it is something that is manifesting with the cosmic manifestation. Srila Prabhupada continues to mention, as the material nature is manifested and unmanifested, similarly the universal form is manifested and non-manifested. So, as mentioned earlier, that is the main reason that it is not a permanent form. Srila Prabhupada continues to say, it is also regarded as that it is temporary and not mentioned with the rest of the incarnations that we have been reading. As we know that this chapter is entitled Krishna is the source of all incarnations, and we have 25 incarnations that are mentioned, and that is not exhaustive, because in the Srimad, in the Brahma Samhita, it says Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam, that the Lord is Achyutam Anadim, that there are innumerable forms, but these are the main forms. And Srila Prabhupada continues to say that because the Virat Roop is not eternally situated in the spiritual sky like Krishna's other forms, that is the other reason that it is a temporary manifestation, because it is not having a permanent position in the spiritual sky. Now, why is it that the Virat Roop was shown? Let's look at that significance. The reason that the Virat Roop was shown or requested by Arjun is in the purpose, Prabhupada says, Arjun asked to see the universal form to set a criterion in the future for one who claims to be Krishna or God should be prepared to show this universal form to confirm his claim to the people. So the main reason this was done, or the request was forwarded by Arjun, was for the benefit of the masses in the future, for our own benefit. Because in the future, we know there will be a lot of gods. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that this universal form is to challenge the authority of any so-called bogus god or cheap god, like Prabhupada used to state, to be able to even manifest such a form. So on the plea of his pure devotees, we know that Krishna acts through his devotees. This question was raised, but it was basically for this reason. In the Bhagavad Gita, also chapter 11, text 4, the Lord says, if you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form. Sorry, Arjun says this. If you think, and he pleads to Krishna, he says, if you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O Master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universal form. So that was the plead on which Krishna showed his universal form. Now, we know that Arjun was selected because of two qualities. Because he was a Sakha and he was a devotee. He was a devotee and a friend. So that was his qualification. His qualification was that he was a devotee and a friend. This science is not taught to the people who are envious of Krishna. So if you are envious of Krishna, Krishna doesn't reveal himself. As we will continue speaking today, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Lord Krishna can only be understood through revelation, not through mental speculation. So if we are trying to mentally speculate on the Lord and his transcendental activities, we cannot understand Krishna. But it is only through revelation. And that revelation is achieved through the process of devotional service. So, on that plea, Srila Prabhupada continues to say that that one can neither see, hear, understand, nor perceive the Supreme Lord Krishna by the material senses. As we know that our material senses have the propensity, human beings in the material world have the propensity to cheat, are under illusion. So we are already under illusion. We have the propensity to cheat. We have imperfect senses. And with these qualities, Srila Prabhupada mentions that we cannot see, hear, or understand or perceive the Supreme Lord. But by engaging in devotional service, one can see the Lord by revelation. And Arjuna accepted that on the strength of his speculative strength, he could not understand him. So even Arjuna accepts that on his speculative strength, he could not understand the Lord. And if Arjuna could not understand, being a confidant of the Lord, in the mood of servitorship and friendship, very close, you can just imagine how challenging and difficult it is when we start the process of neti-neti, the process of speculation and the process of trying to understand the Lord with our limited senses. That's why we follow the parampara system and we follow the system in the descending order as our acharyas have advised us to do. So, Srila Prabhupada continues to mention that Arjuna also stated that only by the mercy of the infinite can one understand the infinite. So Srila Prabhupada also mentions that it is only by the mercy of the infinite, which is the Lord, because the Lord is inconceivable. So by his inconceivable, infinite mercy, it is only through that it is possible for us to understand about him. Now, this is Damodarastak month, and we know that we have Mother Yashoda and Lord Damodar on the altar there. And this is the reciprocation of love. This is the pure reciprocation of love. And it is only by the reciprocation of love that the Lord is being bound. So, this is a very important month for us because it teaches us that the Lord that is infinite, like Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purpose, the Lord that is inconceivable, the Lord that cannot be understood by any other process can only be understood by the process of love and is bound by that love. And again, Srila Prabhupada, I was reading the purpose, several times mentions the mercy of the Lord, mentions how important it is to have the mercy of the Lord. And that is also exhibited in the Damodar Leela. So again, this is very, very important for us to understand as devotees that we need to do our part. And our part is the effort. But we have to rely on the mercy of the Lord. And that mercy is not bestowed to you if you try to speculate or you try to use arguments to try and understand the Lord. It just cannot happen. The Lord is covered by his yogamaya potency. So, Srila Prabhupada continues to mention that devotees correctly situated in a transcendental relationship with Krishna are attracted by loving features, not by a godless display of opulences. And that is the reason that devotees do not like seeing the Virat Roop. It is mentioned that prior to Arjuna, no one had seen the Virat Roop, including the inhabitants of the heavenly planets. It is only during the time that Arjun was seeing that the higher planetary inhabitants were also able to see the Virat Roop. But Srila Prabhupada mentions that because the devotees are attracted by loving features, just like Yashoda Maya, she is attracted to the two-armed form of Krishna, which is the original form. Because of that, they are not attracted by a feature that shows opulences, because the Virat Roop shows the opulence. It shows all these legs, all these mouths. It shows how the Lord is taking in everything, how fires is coming from His mouth. How it's actually explained that as you're going through the teeth of the Lord, some of them are actually being caught in between the teeth. So, you know, this is just to show the majesty, the opulence of the Lord to the materialistic people. But for devotees, they don't relish such a feature. They relish the feature of Shama Sundar. That's why Lord Krishna's name is Shama Sundar. We are attracted to the Shama Sundar form. We are not attracted to the opulence forms. So, in this respect, there is a very nice shloka, which is Itiham Satam Brahma Sukano Bhutaya Dasyam Gatanam Para Daivetena Mayasritam Nara Darkena Sakam Vijuru Krita Punya Punja. Here is the Supreme Person who is considered the impersonal Brahman by great sages. The Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotees and a product of material nature by ordinary men. Now this who have performed many, many pious activities, these boys, because, you know, we had the boys playing with Krishna. So, it says, these boys that are playing with Krishna, who have performed many, many pious activities in their past lives, are playing with that Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the gopas who are playing with the Lord are not ordinary jivas. And that actually gives us also a glimpse of what are the qualifications that we need to have to be able to even see the Lord face to face. It says very clearly that they have accumulated many, many pious activities from previous lives. It's not just a lifetime. And we are so audacious that we challenge to see God in our present form. Or we are so audacious that we want to challenge the authority of God in this lifetime by saying we want to see. And yet, it takes lifetimes of pious activities to even be able to associate with the Lord. It's very clearly stated in our shastras. So, the reason for the Virat Roop, Srila Prabhupada also continues to say, is that Krishna did not only theoretically, because, you know, he's speaking Gita. So, he's theoretically present, is theoretically presenting himself as the Supreme. But by showing the Virat Roop, he actually revealed himself as the Supreme. So there was the theoretical part on this that can be challenged or debated by modern day so-called tiny brains that, hey, anyone can speak this and claim to be God. Just like we have so many gods claiming to be God. But the Lord, by showing the Virat Roop, reveals his position, Srila Prabhupada states. And then, Arjun, obviously, as we know, saw unlimited number of hands, mouths, legs, and other manifestations of the Lord. And as we know, in this purport, it is mentioned about the planetary systems. We know that the Lord's lower body is Patal Log and the lower planetary systems. In the middle is the earthly planets, and on the top is the heavenly planets. But the devotees are not concerned about that, because the devotees are not attracted by that majesty. And one of the very important things that Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purports is that we are understanding this through Sanjay. As you know, Sanjay was relating this to Dhritarashtra, because he had been given this divine vision by Vyasadeva to be able to see what was happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that Sanjay is trying to compare the situation as far as it can be understood to an imaginable phenomenon. So like, you know, he states that the Lord's brilliance was like thousands of suns. The Virat Roop was like thousands of suns. So we have to understand that this is being also explained in certain context and in certain phenomena and in certain understanding for us to be able to understand. Because as we know that Ananta shares with his thousand mouths cannot glorify the Lord. And we don't know what choice words he is using. So this is only for our comprehension. And even at that we can see the majesty of the Lord. So, unlimited expansions of the universe which resulted in Arjun being inspired by the relationship of wonder. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that when Arjun was seeing this Virat form, for a moment he actually forgot his relationship as a Saka, as a friend, because his relationship started going towards wonder. Why? Because he saw this huge form, gigantic form, which was able to do so many things and was doing so many things. And so he was overwhelmed by the Lord's wonders. And so at that stage, he also says, and also the demigods started shivering, they were panicking. And the reason was because, not that he was fearful of the Lord, but just he was, Prabhupada uses the word overwhelmed, was overwhelmed by the wonder of the Lord, that this is God. This is God. Because he could not see a beginning, he could not see an end, and he could not see the middle. So when the Lord is called infinite, it's also further described by Srila Prabhupada in the purpose that Arjun could not even see where the Lord begins and where the Lord is ending. And all the universes in one place. And the Lord was showing this to him by the Lord's mercy, sitting on the chariot. It's like a TV screen being projected to you. But the TV screen, nowadays we are very proud that we have three-dimensional. Now I don't know what dimensions this is called when the Lord is going through all the universes. I don't know if you can even comprehend trying to put that in a kind of screen, you know. So this is why at one time Arjun is being bewildered. So Prabhupada continues to say, hosts of demigods were surrendering before and entering into you. That even the hosts of demigods were surrendering unto Lord Krishna. This shows that there is no other God but Krishna. Because even the demigods are surrendering. Even the demigods are entering. Because Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are present in the universal form. But Krishna is not present in that form. Because Krishna is the original form. As we have read before. It is very clearly stated that although Krishna comes in after Lord Balaram, he and Balaram are still the original source. They are not an incarnation. And further it says, Srila Prabhupada continues to state that the demigods were also fearful of the manifestation of the universal form and the glaring effulgence and prayed for protection. So you can see the position of a devotee. The demigods, Srila Prabhupada mentions, are devotees. That's why they're demigods. But a devotee like Arjun is above a demigod. Because he is not fearful. He's just been overwhelmed. But the demigods, because they are in a majestic position, they were fearful. But a devotee is fearless. So this is a very important comparison for us to note the position of a devotee. That a devotee is fearless. And that's why Srila Prabhupada was called Abhay Charan by his father. Abhay Charan means Abhay, means one who will be fearless at the feet of the Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada says that modern scientists suggest that perhaps it was like that or it was like this. But Srila Prabhupada says there is no question of perhaps and maybe. Period. No neti-neti. He says there is no perhaps, maybe in devotional life. Let the scientists speculate. But devotional life, we don't say, is it this? Is it that? Is it going to be like this? Is it going to be like that? No. Srila Prabhupada very clearly says, there is no room for perhaps and maybe. This is the Supreme Lord. Again, I'm only repeating Srila Prabhupada's words. This is our founder Acharya telling us in his purports, which are actually his revelations to us, to make us understand the science. So it is so important for us to take each and every word of Srila Prabhupada as our heart and soul, because this is Srila Prabhupada speaking to us. This is not an ordinary person. Remember that. And so if we doubt any of the words Srila Prabhupada is speaking to us, we need to start thinking introspectively, seriously. Because you can't progress without our captain. We are in this boat, and that boat is going to be carried by Srila Prabhupada. Is there anyone who has a doubt on that? Anyone has a doubt? Okay, good. I'm happy to hear that. Okay. So Arjun, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, Srila Prabhupada mentions, his position changes from one of a friend to one of wondering. Can I even call God as my friend? What have I done? I have been sleeping on the same bed with Krishna, eating from the same plate of Krishna. How could I have done this? That's why devotees don't want to see the opulence. They want to not see the opulence. They just want to see Krishna as Samsundar, because they want to have a reciprocation. So, on that plea, Arjuna actually asks for forgiveness for doing activities with the Lord in madness or in love. Srila Prabhupada comments that the relationship between the Lord and living entity is fixed eternally and it cannot be forgotten, because we are eternal servants of the Lord, Jiva Sarupa Krishna Nitya Das. We are eternally connected, but we have forgotten that. Now, how do we know that as we know in the Brahma Samhita, the opening shloka is Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Anadir Adir Govinda Ishvara Parama Krishna. So, in the Svetash Upanishad, there is another shloka. Natasya Karyam Karanam Cha Vidyate Natat Samas Cha Yadikas Cha Drisyate. That the Supreme Lord Krishna has senses and a body like the ordinary man. But for him, there is no difference between his senses, his body, and his mind, and himself. So that is why we cannot understand Krishna. Because we compare him to our material bodies, which are different from the soul. But in Krishna's case, there is no difference because there is no matter. And we know there is no matter in the spiritual world. But we are associating everything according to what we are conditioned and what is surrounding us. And that's why Srila Prabhupada used the word phenomena. Because we are so much accustomed to, okay, if I have a body that has pus, blood, and a transportation system, how can God have something different? And we forget that we are in no way with our tiny brains able to comprehend the Supreme Lord. Because when the Virat Roop is being shown, you can't even see the beginning, end, and middle. It's inconceivable. So, Srila Prabhupada also mentions that the universal form, when it was being displayed, it was actually shown to all the devotees in the disciplic succession. That is also mentioned. That not only the demigods and Arjun, but also all the devotees in the disciplic succession could see the universal form. So, Srila Prabhupada comments, one accepts bodily penances, gives charity, studies the Vedas, etc. But unless he is a devotee like Arjun, he cannot see the universal form. So there is also a criterion that Srila Prabhupada is giving to see the universal form. That people who give charity, people who perform penances, or people who study Vedas, unless they are not a devotee, they cannot even see the universal form. So what to speak of the Shamsundar form? So, Lord Krishna then further states to Arjun that you have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. my devotee be free again from all disturbances, because Arjun was getting disturbed. As we know, the demigods were getting disturbed. Arjun was getting disturbed. He was not getting fearful, he was getting disturbed. And Lord Krishna wanted to finish that and bring him to his peaceful mind. And that is why Arjun asked, after seeing the universal form, he didn't say, show me your two-handed form. He said, please show me now your four-handed form. So there's a gradual. And we have to learn from great devotees like Arjun. That he didn't say, okay, Krishna, you showed me the universal form, so now straight away show me your two-handed form. He went slowly. He said, now can you show me your four-handed form? Which is Vishnu, Narayan. And then from that, he came, then Krishna then revealed his two-handed form. So, devotees are not interested, as I mentioned earlier, in the universal form, because it does not enable, Srila Prabhupada says, it doesn't enable the reciprocation of loving feelings. And because it doesn't create that, the Virat form is not an important form for us. But it is a very important form to convince the materialist that this is Krishna, this is God. So that was the main reason this was done. And there is another reason Srila Prabhupada says why the universal form was shown by Lord Krishna. As we know, during the battlefield, when Arjun saw Bhishma, Drona, and in them he saw his grandfather, he saw brothers, he saw friends, he was disturbed. And he laid down his bow. And he actually said to Krishna that, I am now surrendering to you and please guide me. So Srila Prabhupada says, since a devotee like Arjun, or devotees are usually peaceful in nature, they cannot perform horrible actions of killing. But by showing the universal form, Arjun was able to see, what was he able to see? That Bhishma, Drona, Karna, everyone was entering into the mouth of the universal form. So he was able to see that he is only an instrument, because the Lord has already killed them. So that was a very, very important point, because devotees by nature are peaceful, Srila Prabhupada says. But by showing that, he was able to also convince Arjun and let Arjun know that you're only going to be an instrument. You're only going to be an instrument, and that they have already been killed. But it also makes it easy, because sometimes as book distributors, I'm not a book distributor, but I keep on hearing this, how can your God create a war? How can your God create a battlefield? It's not that he's creating, he has already killed them. Because we don't know this. He has already killed them. He's only doing this as an instrument. He's using Arjuna as an instrument. But in essence, let me end it in 2-3 minutes. In essence, what is Srila Prabhupada's final instructions in the Bhagavad Gita universal form is that we cannot understand simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by this means that one can see me as I am. Only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you. So this is Lord Krishna stating. As after showing the universal form and then coming back to his Shamsundar form, he actually tells Arjun that this is the way to see me. So he gives the method of seeing him. Because he says, I'm Durdarsham, that it is very difficult to see me. Su Durdarsham is what Prabhupada states. But when you actually go through the process of devotional service, is that is the only way. And Srila Prabhupada says that the universal form is for elevating those involved in fruitive activities. So in fruitive activities, people involved in fruitive activities, the universal form is a means of elevation. But Lord Krishna's form, as the two-handed form, is for the persons engaged in devotional service. And with that, I would like to end, because I have gone about 5 minutes above. But if there's any questions or answers, there was more to speak, but in the benefit of time, I'm going to stop there. But basically, the essence is devotees should concentrate on the two-handed form, and the fruitive speculators and people who are on fruitive activities should concentrate on the universal form. Any questions, any comments, Rabindranath Prabhu? You see, Srila Prabhupada does say that it's imaginary. Now, as I mentioned earlier, what Srila Prabhupada mentions further is that it is related to the cosmic manifestation. Now, I know you may be looking at the English dictionary meaning of to imagine something. But what I read, unless someone else knows, I don't want to speculate, because I only read what Prabhupada said, that his clarification was because it is cosmic and the cosmic manifestation is temporary. Or, as we know, that it is a reflection of the spiritual world. Since it's a reflection, it can also be regarded as imaginary. And in that context, the universal form is imaginary because it is tied to the cosmic manifestation. Unless Archita Prabhu or Maharaj have a different explanation, but that was my understanding from reading Srila Prabhupada's purports. Maharaj had something and... I think there's someone is bringing mic.
Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhuji, and the opportunity to give my own understanding of what Srila Prabhupada means when he speaks of imaginary or by imaginary, he means it's the same when he speaks of the entire material world as imaginary. It's imaginary in the sense that it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. It's not something permanent. Something is permanent, we don't call it imaginary. We call it truth. We call it forever. We call it eternal. But imaginary is something which is, as I said, you see it, and if you keep looking, it will disappear. So in that sense, it should not be taken so seriously. What should be? It is only for the beginners, the imaginary Virat Rupa, to give some, especially for persons who are being weaned away from the impersonal absolute to the personal absolute. So, as a first stage, he gets the idea that the Lord has form, so he can identify, he can accept, he can understand all of these things: the mountains, you know, and the eyes and the. Sun and the moon and all of these things are within his understanding and framework, you see. So he goes from there as one step and begins to worship that universal form. But it is only a beginning to develop the devotional sense, to develop the love sense, to develop the affection and dedication sense. And then when that is developed, one actually no longer wants to worship rocks and soil and sky and all of these things. He wants to go to the actual form. And that's evolved. In other words, the devotee spiritually evolves to that point. But it has to have a starting point. So he starts with the... So, again, universal form is imaginary only in the sense that it's... Here you see it, and eventually it is all withdrawn and it disappears. That's all. It's basically matter. Matter is here, and then it's gone. And then it's here, and then it's gone. But the eternal... is never here and gone. It is always forever with in existence. Only our blind eyes prevent us from seeing it.
Thank you, Maharaj. Rabindranath Prabhu, you're satisfied? Prabhu has a comment or question. And the mic is...
You know, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he's saying that all the forms of the avatars, they are all spiritual, not material. What about Lord Buddha? We know Lord Buddha is a Shaktiavasha avatar. He's a Jiva soul, right? What about his form?
See, Lord Buddha is also regarded as one of the incarnations. Right. So, I have not read anywhere so far that... That has been disputed by Srila Prabhupada or our our previous acharyas, that Lord Buddha is not an incarnation. Now, again, we have to see in what context it is being regarded as a jiva. You see, what is the context? Because Srila Prabhupada, when I was reading that also, mentions, just like he's mentioning, like Maharaj very elaborately explained, about imaginary, that the Virat Rupa is imaginary. So there is an explanation that is given by Srila Prabhupada why it is regarded. And I'm not very clear on it, but I have read it. But because I am not completely clear about it, I don't want to speak about it sitting on the Vyasasan. But if a devotee knows exactly why, or else I can actually look at it because I know where it is, and actually show you why Srila Prabhupada states the way that it is also jiva. But I don't remember exactly the reason. And I want to stay in the confinements of trying to speak from evam parampara praptam, what comes from our success. Does anyone know why Srila Prabhupada? Maharaj? His question was, Prabhu's question was, that is Lord Buddha an incarnation of the Lord, or is he in the jiva category?
I don't remember exactly. But whether he's in the jiva or Vishnu character, what is the problem? What is your question in regard to whether he's this or that? Yeah.
So, what about Lord Buddha? Because Lord Buddha, he's a Shakya Vasya Avatar, the Jiva Soul. What about Lord Buddha's form? Is Lord Buddha's form spiritual or material?
Well, based on my readings, Srila Prabhupada continues to refer to Lord Buddha as an incarnation of God, that he is non-different even from Krishna. He mentions this. And the important point is that his function and his purpose as to why he is manifesting or he's expressing himself the way he is. And he's expressing for a very specific reason in history. Actually, the people in general were violating the understanding of the Vedas, violating in the sense that they were performing sacrifices to the extent that they were no longer sacrifices. It was pure barbarism. It was just killing, killing, and killing of animals, and they were enjoying the flesh. So Buddha came, number one, is to develop what they call ahimsa, or to help people to become restrained and stop them from all this unnecessary killing, because he knew that persons could never develop real spirituality unless they stopped the killing of animals. That was the first thing. And then the second thing had to do with to get them to worship a form, you see, because they were worshiping all these different gods and making all kinds of sacrifices and offering, killing the animals in the sacrifices. So Lord Buddha wanted to encourage them to worship himself. And if they did that, they would become purified because he was the pure Supreme Lord, you see. So therefore, people, in seeing his greatness, his glory, his wonder, they began to worship him. And in worshiping him, they accepted his order that they should not kill animals. So that was a very important point, because there could be no spiritual advancement as long as you're killing animals in a barbaric and savage way. So that was another point. And then there's another point where he wants to get them at least to the first stage, which is the impersonal stage. That is a preparatory or preliminary stage before you can go to personal. So therefore, they could accept this idea of personal. They would worship Lord Buddha, and then eventually they would enter into this light through the concentration on Lord Buddha. Eventually there would be a purification, and then the first stage, there are three stages. The first stage is the impersonal absolute, and the second stage is the Paramatma, and then the third is the Bhagavan. So he wanted to bring them at least to one stage, but of course we know that stage was criticized and overturned by Shankaracharya, who came and then wanted to restore the Vedas. So Buddha came to initially to debunk and to put down the Vedas because of the misuse of it. That was the main thing. Not that he was really against it, but how people were using it to satisfy their sense gratificatory urges and desires.
Srimad Bhagavatam class ki. Oh, sorry. Nakatma Prabhu or something.
Just one last, in addition to Maharaj's statement, Srila Prabhupada explains in text 24 that Lord Buddha was an incarnation of Godhead.
Yes.
He doesn't say that he was a jiva.
Yes.
To be Shaktivesh doesn't necessarily mean that one has to be a jiva, but he's empowered with a certain shakti to perform a certain activity.
That is exactly.
And that was the case with Lord Buddha.
Yeah, that's what I recall reading. You know, so that's why I said you have to see from context what Srila Prabhupada is trying to say.
He was living. He was the personality of Godhead, but his purpose was had a certain purpose. So Shaktivesh also refers to an appearance of the Lord or a living being that's empowered for a specific purpose. And he's avatar because he's descended, but he's incarnation of Godhead.
Thank you, Prabhu. That is very clear. Shumar Bhagavatam class ki? Yeah.